Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So Bill Barnwell called the Texans defense a winner in free agency.
Hell yeah.
Now, that was before the Texans traded for Joe Mixon. As we said, it's a looks like a conditional seventh-round pick is what the deal will be for, which I guess that means next year's seventh-round pick, so they won't lose any draft capital this year, which, like, that's fine. I'm all good with that side of the trade. But so Bill Barnwell calls the Texans defense a winner. Paul, I don't think that losing Grenard was the end of the world since they replaced him with Autry.
11 and a half sacks to replace Jonathan Grenard's 12 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
And instead of paying him a $76 million contract over 4 years, you were giving him a deal that's 2 years for $20 million. This is what you're supposed to do in free agency.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people have been talking about the Autry move, perhaps because you don't know as much about him. He is a guy that has been pretty consistent over the course of his career. It's a good move.
It is a good move.
It's just not as splash that everyone wants. But, I mean, 11 and a half sacks worth of production when 12 and a half walked out the door. It should be a splash. That's a good move. You save money.
So, yesterday before they signed DeNico Autry and Azeez Al-Shaair, so literally right after our show ended is when those two moves happened, I did leave the show yesterday feeling that, at least at that moment in time, the Texans were a much worse football team than they were when the season ended. Just on paper, you know, everyone that had left, Cashman was gone, Grenard was gone, Singletary was gone at that point. Like, they were all the good stuff that you had that was hidden free agency, you were not going to retain. Now, quickly, DeNico Autry is a good replacement. Azeez Al-Shaair is a good replacement. Maybe an upgrade over Blake Cashman.
The Texans believe he is an upgrade based off of the reporting that we've seen from our friend DJ Bienemé.
The biggest hurdles in terms of players you lost and you're replacing them would most likely be at cornerback because they signed Jeffrey Okuda, because they brought in Mike Ford and Lonnie Johnson. That signals, even though most of us got two of those three at least, are special teamers. But with Desmond King coming back, I do get the vibes of this is it for the cornerback room, potentially until the draft.
Yeah, and look, if they find a corner at 23, great. I feel like there's still a chance that something happens because we still have a little less than 24 hours until NFL free agency officially kicks off. We're still in the tampering window. I think with the corner position, there will be some corners cut and that you could potentially find somebody on a one-year prove-it kind of deal. Who that person is at this moment in time, though, I do not know. All I know is that all the options that will be available for the Texans are not currently available at this moment in time.
No, and there are other guys that are out there. Danielle Hunter, Aaron Wilson actually just tweeted 2 minutes ago there's mutual interest between the Texans and Vikings Pro Bowl free agent defensive end Danielle Hunter.
People will be happy about that.
Imminent? Will they be? Because I think that's what's upset Texans fans the most in this free agency period is that because they are this shiny new object in the NFL, that they were the betting favorites during the playoffs to be where A.J. Brown would land if he was traded. Then the same thing happened with Stephon Diggs. Then Barkley and all these guys, all these big names are being connected to the Texans. And that's why Texans fans are upset, because they're not getting any of them. So I don't know if this is a good thing for Texans fans. This feels like giving yourself heart palpitations.
Well, sometimes heart palpitations are nice, right? Coffee does that. Other things do that.
That's a lot of coffee if you're getting... Do you get heart palpitations every time you drink coffee?
Usually only with espressos.
Okay, that's fair.
Give me a double espresso. or a triple espresso, and I actually might feel uncomfortable. This is the one moment in time where I have too much energy.
What do you drink with your triple espresso? Like, do you put anything in it?
Crack.
Or you just on ice?
PCP. Yeah. Just, you know, the usual.
I had my first internship in college at 670, was at 670 The Score, and I had to go get my boss, Mitch.
That's in Chicago, right?
Yeah, in Chicago. I had to get my boss, Mitch Rosen, every morning, 5 shots of espresso on ice from Starbucks. That's how he started his day every single day.
How old
it
was he?
Wild.
How old was he?
He was old then.
Was it just black?
Yes. Every day, 5 shots at 6 in the morning. Because he would get there when the morning show would start.
Would he sip it? Or did he just down it?
I think it depended on the day.
Was it one after another?
No, it was in one cup.
Oh.
So they would put just 6 espresso shots on ice in one, like, grande Starbucks cup. And that's how he started his day every single day. It was wild.
If you nursed that over the course of a show, I could understand how that works.
He's the program director. So he's just, like, starting his day, like, whoop, let's get going.
Listen,
wild.
I respect Mick Rosen for that.
Yeah, the amount of Bears football and Bulls basketball. Yeah, he's like,
my life
sucks.
I got to deal with these idiots. These
right.
dumb interns.
The White Sox suck.
No
the
offense
Cubs
to my interns.
Suck. I mean, my God.
I couldn't imagine drinking that much.
The Blackhawks aren't good now?
They were good at the time.
Okay, at least get that.
So the guys you brought back Noah Brown, Khalil Davis, Desmond King, Eric Murray. This offseason's been good. You don't have the big name, but every player that's walked out the door, you have brought in a suitable replacement so far. At linebacker, at pass rusher, you lost your punter. Cameron Johnson left, but you brought in Tommy Townsend, who was an all-pro punter.
Right. But everyone had to panic yesterday because everyone's so effing impatient.
They were very impatient yesterday. And I understand why, Paul.
I understand impatience as well, but when has anyone made a good decision while impatient?
That's probably a good point. That's
probably a good point. Probably or it is.
Well, I can't ver- I mean,
I feel like you got a pushback in you.
Nick Caserio trading up for Will Anderson.
I'm here because I'm impatient. I was frustrated with my job and I reached out to people to leave and
okay.
Brendan told me he was going to Chicago, so that's and within 2 weeks I was gone.
But I would imagine that was more frustration than impatience.
I was waiting for a game to end to get on the air. And they played like 5 overtimes, and I was just like, I'm done with this place. So maybe a frustration / impatience. You're probably right, though. Most probably 90% of decisions that are made when you're impatient are bad decisions.
Usually, and yeah. As someone who has like the quickest of quick fuses over very trivial, stupid stuff that sometimes leads to me punching inanimate objects, as I shared earlier in the program, like sometimes I just need to take a deep breath and actually put together a plan, which usually involves a little bit of patience. And look, you can't be too patient in life, right? Like, you never know when you're going to croak. You never know.
It's true.
But impatience generally leads to rash decisions, and every single year in NFL free agency, you're going to see mistakes get made because either general managers or people above the general managers on an organization totem pole want something big to happen.
Yeah, and that's what people want. I saw this funny tweet today from a national football writer, and it was just that I can't imagine what NFL teams would look like if we let just fans who have this fantasy football culture be the GM for a day and give them a checkbook, how bad the NFL and how bad these teams would fall apart and how quickly.
It would be more fun.
It would be. Oh, for sure. Saquon Barkley would be a Texan. T. Higgins would be a Texan.
That's how the Green Bay Packers should have to run themselves. They should since the fans own the team, it's like they should actually just get to make whatever decision they want.
I love that. That's the biggest ripoff in sports.
The People's Republic of Green Bay?
Yeah.
How they don't actually have a say?
It's so stupid.
How like post-communist organizations? We have a say. There's democracy. But no, it's just the guy at the top's the one running.
Like once upon a time, pardon my take, the Barstool Sports podcast sold like stock in their Goldfish. That is the same amount of cachet as that piece of paper that pardon my take sold for a Goldfish of being a Packers owner.
Hmm. Yeah, you don't get to make decisions there. But if you did, wouldn't it be fun? I mean,
like a board meeting, like a big Zoom call.
Well, just
Who wants to sign Josh Jacobs?
Oh,
say
my God.
It has to be like Congress or it's like two-thirds majority.
That's the one thing I
okay,
like.
That would be fun. Can we do that?
What?
Can we, when the NHL moves to Houston, can we try to get to be like an all-in, everyone gets a vote kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. On a sport that no one knows an effing thing about?
Exactly.
Oh, I want a guy who fights. I want a guy who fights. I want him on the first line.
It'd be nine guys that are all goons and then Wayne Gretzky because he's the only hockey player anyone in Houston can name.
It'd be great.
Give me the fattest goalie. I just want someone who's just going to fill up the whole deck.
Yeah, and a 600-pound goalie.
Yeah, it'd be great. Goldberg did a great job in the Mighty Ducks.
Give me someone from my 600-pound life for the net. It would be fun just imagining an impatient, like, armchair general manager like wasting the entire salary cap on three wide receivers. And then you're like, hey, Mike Evans, you're going to have to play corner for us. You're going to have to play pass rusher for us, too. You're going to be playing every down of every game. We're paying you a lot. We're paying you a lot. You're a wide receiver. We don't use you on every single play, but now we are. And now you get to be a real team player.
I would love that. Let's try something different.
Yeah, because what happens when you actually go over the cap? Like, every year...
A smart person figures out how to get
under. Yeah, every year. So what if there's no smart person in the room? And you're like, yep, we're just over the cap, so we only have 45 players instead of 53.
Yeah, like, what happens? I think you could sign guys to the vet minimum and go over at that point.
You could sign me.
Yeah, Paul Gallant, starting quarterback.
I'd play for free.
Yeah, Jalen Petrie and Paul Gallant.
Well, they'll cover your medical.
I need it.
That's why you can't play for free.
I would need it. That's a good point. Thanks, Sean. Look it out for me.
Could you? Yeah.
Healthcare.
That sounds pretty good. I think that's a fair trade, Paul. I believe in you. All I know is that now that I'm doing a show with you, once I'm in shape, I can't wait to play flag football with you. I'm gonna find my way.
You once said
into that game.
You once said you could tackle me, and I'm insulted.
We got to do it sometime. We got to go out to the Sabercats field
and just do an Oklahoma patrol.
Yeah. Yes, I'd love it. I don't know who else.
ESPN 97.5 Oklahoma.
I think that would be a great video.
I think it would too.
Who else would do it with us? Sean's in.
I would do it.
You were in no matter what.
Yeah.
Because off my head, I'm like, okay, who could do this with us? The three of us. Jeremy could probably do it. I think Joel's knees are good enough to where he'd be okay.
We could just have the interns do it. Would that be considered bullying?
I think we run into trouble there.
Nope.
We would?
Not it. I'm not doing that.
How much do they care about being here?
That's true.
Right? See, that's how you flip it on them.
Yeah, that's how you have a toxic culture.
Well, you just make sure that they don't report it to HR and HR&P.
Yeah,
are proud sponsors.
I'm less proud of this segment.
As long as John and Lance won't do it, Dell 50-50.
The issue I have, because you have a low center of gravity, I think it would be hard for me to tackle you.
It depends. It just depends.
You think you're going down with an arm tackle?
I think I have a clothesline, you know.
I might, yeah. Yeah, but can I wear a mouth guard at least?
I would want to wear a mouth guard,
I don't want to lose my teeth on accident.
I had us in full football pads. Like,
love it.
In a full, like we're actually at football practice.
This would be so much fun. Can we get the other stations involved? There's a couple people I'd like to hit.
Ooh, name them.
No, come on.
I would love to drill Landry Locker. Just absolutely blast him over the middle of the field going out for a pass. I like Landry too, but I want to crush him. Just crush him over the middle of the field. I know that the Texans flagship, I would kick their ass in football. All of them.
I would love to do like a flag football game versus them.
Yeah, the radio.
Give me the ball.
Yard.
Yeah.
give me the ball. Yeah, because they won't even play because they're soft cowards. They won't even go into the media game. Where were they? I scored the game-winning touchdown in the media game, they weren't there. Soft. Bunch of flabbies over there. They're all got some deal for some sort of weight loss. All of them. I don't need that. Natural baby.
What a transition. You know why? Because I need that. I need weight loss. And I can't wait to tell you guys about my new friends at O Athletic. It is a top sports performance facility here in Houston, 767 North Shepherd. Sign up today. And when you sign up, they have so much available to you. You have a full training facility, 100 classes per week. No matter what style of workout you want, they've got it for you. MMA, boxing. They have the full octagon. at the gym. Yoga, weightlifting, agility. They have all of it for you at O Athletic. They have personal training as well. I had my first personal training session yesterday. My guy Sam, he kicked my ass. There's really no other way to say it. He absolutely ruined my day, but in a very positive way. It was an awesome experience, and I'm super excited to be working with O Athletic. We are working on getting me healthy in 2024. So if you, like me, took your time, waited till March to start trying to lose weight in 2024, or just want to get back in the gym, O Athletic is the place for you at 767 North Shepherd. And when you sign up, let them know that Joe sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Drake's going to be at the rodeo tonight. Is that what I saw?
I believe it's Bun B night.
And then, but he's bringing Drake?
That's the rumor.
The rumor?
That's the rumor. Because Bun B always brings out a bunch of people.
How would you feel if you purchased tickets to just see Drake, you know, with all these rumors he didn't show up? Would you be upset?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it your fault?
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, because you don't know for sure. You're only guaranteed to see Bun B.
Yeah.
Anything else is bonus.
Also, disrespectful to Bun B. You mm-hmm. should be buying a ticket to see Bun B.
Absolutely.
You should be disappointed
I love
seeing
Bun
B. Bun B.
Just because Drake all of a sudden says and has purchased property in Houston does not mean that he, unlike our native son, 50 Cent, can cross over to becoming a Houstonian.
He really is all in on Houston, and I love it.
Yeah.
Because 50 Cent has was it vodka company? I think it is that he's doing with the Rockets and the Astros. Yeah. He's doing that at other stadiums, but I don't see him going to those places like he's here.
No, he still, like, sits courtside at Rockets games.
Yeah.
When they're 34 and whatever the or 26 and whatever the record.
Did he ever give a reason for just deciding to go full Houston? Did he have some sort of falling out with New York City during COVID or something like that? Because I remember him wearing Yankees hats as long as I can think back to him and his first, I guess, appearance on the musical scene. And I'm musically challenged, so maybe he had another phase. Maybe he went full Drake where Drake's jumping on bandwagon after bandwagon more than I am.
Okay, so there's an article about the five reasons that he moved to Houston.
Okay.
50 Cent moved to Houston.
State income tax.
Lower taxes is the first one.
Hell yeah.
And I'm not going to read it. I'm just reading the bolded reasons.
Okay.
He wants to get closer to the local hip-hop scene.
Okay.
His cognac.
Oh, it's cognac. Okay.
Yes. And then three words. Megan Thee Stallion.
Now, we don't know if that one's real, though.
No.
That might be fake news, Sean, that you just are spreading over the radio right now.
What? It's
in the blog.
Yeah, this is in the blog.
That's some journalism.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, you're supposed to read what other people write and not think about it.
Yeah.
That's what happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Nick Caserio, DJ Bienemy put out this tweet earlier that Nick Caserio is just sticking to his prices. That they have, you know, they offered Patrick Queen $10 million per year, according to what DJ was hearing, but Patrick Queen's people wanted more than that, so they weren't interested. They were going after Saquon Barkley, but they did not have any interest in matching the Eagles' bid, and that's when they switched their focus to Joe Mixon. This is where the frustration that the Texans fans have had over the last 24 hours, Paul, is to me unwarranted, because this is being a smart general manager. You may not like the fact that you didn't get the big splash, but I would much rather have Nick Caserio be acting like this than be reckless. Because he's not penny pinching. He's not doing what Jim Crane has been accused of. He's pretty much doing exactly what Jim Crane has done, is that he's spending money to fill his roster with good players, but he's not spending money with players that are way overpaid and eventually will be bad.
Right, and look, some of those players will actually work out in their new homes, but you just got to remember that they don't always work out that way, even though they've been proven players at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go to another spot, and you're just not as good. Is that because you're not a scheme fit? Is it because you got paid and you're less hungry? There's a variety of different reasons as to why that does happen fairly often, when one player signs a big contract to play with another team. Maybe you have bad quarterback. Maybe you have bad coaching. There's always factors as to why it won't work out. So I think the fiscally responsible way, one that will be described as cheap by some or a commitment to mediocrity by others, I think, same way as you, Joe, that this is how you're supposed to operate this time of year. There's still plenty of time. More players will be cut. We still got to see what's going on with the LA Chargers. There's at least four players who could potentially be cut coming soon. Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen. There's a lot of players on that team specifically, among others, that are not likely to stay with that team long term. I'm sure that the Chargers are calling people trying to see if they can pull off a trade so they get something in return for them. But yeah, you keep waiting because a couple of days into free agency, there are going to be things that just show up out of nowhere that maybe you didn't see coming, or maybe you did see coming and you knew that if you were patient, you would be able to get those guys, especially if you don't spend all of your available cap space on specific players right away.
So what do you want to see where we're at now? You know, 24 hours into free agency. What do you want to see the Texans do next? Is there a certain player you have in mind that you still want them to go after?
Right now, I want to see who else is officially cut. Still waiting on Eric Armstead. Yeah. Still waiting on Nick Chubb. Still waiting on Alvin Kamara. Still waiting on several players that would be at the very least worth picking up the phone and making a phone call about.
Yeah, Eric Armstead's the one that people have, you know, talked about the most. I don't know. That still feels like a for sure thing. He is going to get cut at some point. So it's waiting that out. But to your point, there are always players getting cut. Jimmy Garoppolo just got reported he's getting cut by the Raiders tomorrow. So, which is not shocking. Obviously, he won't be a Texan, but like he will be getting cut tomorrow. So there are still plenty of players. And there's always fallout from all this stuff. I mean, we've heard the rumors about Justin Jefferson. Does he really want Sam Darnold to be his quarterback?
1 year, $10 million. That is borderline starter money, or I am going to give you a chance to start money.
He's
going to
start until J.J. McCarthy takes over.
You think they're going to draft McCarthy?
I think, McCarthy, or if he doesn't go top three, because it does.
There's a chance the Giants take McCarthy, too.
100%. Who takes the third or fourth quarterback is fascinating. It's the most interesting part of this draft.
And it's probably the fourth that would be McCarthy.
Some people think it's May. May's slipping in a lot of people's minds. I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah's podcast. And people are, they're saying he's a Jordan Love type prospect, where he might have to sit for a year or two before you're really wanting to play him.
Sit behind Jacoby Brissett.
Gross.
If I was Drake May, I'd be like, can you call me a Patrick Mahomes type prospect where I have to sit for 1 year?
Yeah.
Can we spin zone this?
Yeah, it's not the quarterback I want to be compared to is Jordan Love.
No, especially when there's a better example, like just a a few notches higher.
Also, Jordan Love sat for 4 years or whatever it was.
Still better than all those Bears quarterbacks.
Fact. 100%.
He only sat for three.
Caleb Williams will be better, though.
Sure.
I hope.
He'll learn behind Justin Fields.
Gross.
Because they can't trade him for
what
anything.
Else you guys got? Yeah, he has no trade value. Shocker.
Could he be what the Texans need at wide receiver?
Justin Fields?
713-780-3777.
They are friends. So Justin could be
Ohio State connections.
Justin could be CJ's backup instead of Case Keenum.
Wildcat quarterback?
Wildcat quarterback. Honestly, sure.
Him,
Joe
Mixon.
The Bears,
why not?
The Bears trade a third round pick. I'd consider taking Justin Fields over Davis
to
Mills.
To help swallow the contract with one year left on the contract.
Yes. Texans give up a seventh. They have three of them this year for Justin Fields and a third.
Conditional.
Like it.
Yeah, who else could you throw in the mix? I don't know who's good on the Bears because they're so bad.
But DJ Moore? No, you can't have him.
Yeah, DJ Moore, too.
Can't have him. You could have Khalil Herbert. That is actually someone the Texans could be looking at. Because the Bears now have this really weird running back room. So that's another guy that I expect to get cut at some point. Frankly, if they're going to move on from someone, if I'm a Texans fan, I really would hope the Bears move on from Roschon Johnson because I liked him a lot at UT. I can't imagine they'd move on after 1 year, but... we'll see.
You're going to just...
do you have any more shots at the Bears you guys want to take?
Disparage a Texas legend. Yeah.
Before we go to break, you got them all in today?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah,
right?
We're good for the day. Darnell, we got
Mooney.
Our fill.
Yeah. Gonna miss Darnell
Mooney.
You're so
beaten down by this.
I know I am.
You gotta fight violently back.
I can't right
just,
now.
You gotta
I have nothing to fight for.
I'm gonna have to learn so much about the Cubs this year just to put, get some shots in during the summer.
what is there to fight for? They're the worst. They're probably the worst organization in the NFL.
Yeah, but they have the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah.
Cool.
We are the Bears.
Brian Urlacher.
Shuffle the crew.
And his fake hair?
Yeah, he has hair again.
Seven. Actually,
you could have
now.
Hair again too. Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, he got rid of it again. Aww. All those posters came down. It's
what happened? Was it a toupee?
I think it was.
Aww.
They said it was not, but I think it was a toupee. They sold a lot of people on products that apparently didn't work. All right, Paul,
that is a smart way to.
It is. It really is. It's a billboard. How would anyone ever know? All right, Paul put out this tweet yesterday about spending a bunch of money. When you're a quarterback's on a rookie deal, is it a cliche, narrative, or a fact? That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, Paul, you put out this tweet yesterday asking the question about, or just talking about, striking while the iron is hot, spending a bunch of money when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. How are the replies? How was the ratio, or how did it go for you?
Well, I just stopped looking. Look, last night I did a live stream recapping what was going on in Houston Texans free agency, and there were a lot of people who were talking about the idea that you need to strike while you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. And it's one of those things that sounds smart when you say it, right? But it's also kind of a cliche, and I'm not sure how accurate that cliche is. Because if you take a look at the Super Bowl champions since the rookie wage scale was instituted at the end of the 2010-2011 season for the 2011-2012 season, and only 3 of the 14 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks were on their rookie deal. Joe Flacco in 2013 had a great defense on the other side of the field. Russell Wilson in 2014, great defense the other side of the field. And Patrick Mahomes right before he got paid in 2020 over the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to get cute, you could say, oh, it was actually 4 because Carson Wentz was on the Philadelphia Eagles in 2018.
Sure.
He was.
That's fair.
That season, he would have been the MVP had he not gotten injured. Him getting injured paved the way for Tom Brady to win it. But if you want to make the case, okay, maybe it was 4. There have been quarterbacks who made the Super Bowl while on a rookie deal, and they lost. Kaepernick in 13, Wilson in 15, Jared Goff in 19, Burrow, Hurts, Purdy, the last 3 Super Bowls. But ultimately, this idea that you need to strike while the iron is hot with a quarterback on a rookie deal has run into a wall. That wall has been the fact that both Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes have a combined 10 appearances in the last 13 Super Bowls.
That's where the conversation's complicated. I don't think it's straightforward. Because
I agree.
You're right. It is, and when you look at it on paper, I think it makes more sense to say you have to go all in around a rookie quarterback and a rookie contract to get to a Super Bowl. But Mahomes and Brady just have so many of these appearances, it convolutes it. So I would look at it from the other side then. The only quarterback to win a Super Bowl that has signed one of these massive, massive contracts is Patrick Mahomes. He signed his 10-year, $500 million contract. Joe Burrow has not won a Super Bowl. Justin Herbert has not won a Super Bowl. I guess Stafford, yeah.
I don't remember what the deal was with the Rams, but I mean, I'm assuming that
that's whatever deal
he was on was a pretty substantial one.
I mean, him and Brady both were making a ton of money. Brady was making a good amount of change in Tampa Bay, so it's not like he was a cheap contract. And then you have other guys like Jimmy Garoppolo who have gone to Super Bowls who were under good contracts but not super expensive. Really, I just don't think there's any perfect formula. Your odds are best, I still think, if you have a rookie quarterback.
Oh, it certainly helps, no doubt about it. But I think a lot of people have made it out to be this concrete fact that's indisputable. Mm-hmm. And I think because a lot of people have said it over the years that they just take it and run with it. And okay, maybe you make the counter argument that Tom Brady was always leaving a little bit of money on the table, but that was always, I think, a little bit exaggerated. He probably left about $60 million on the table over 15 years. So that's $4 million a year. Okay, then maybe that's like one special teams caliber player or something like that, yeah. Or middle of the roster kind of player, middle class of the roster kind of player. So you can make that case if you want. But I feel this idea that there is a specific formula to winning a Super Bowl, and this is the way that you have to do it, I don't 100% believe that. I have tried to find a free agency haul that has worked for a team that was not the Broncos of the early to mid 2010s. Signing Peyton Manning, signing DeMarcus Ware, signing TJ Ward. Was it Julius Thomas? Did they get him away from the Jaguars? I forget. What I know is they spent a lot of money over a couple of seasons. And, okay, they won a Super Bowl with
it. Yeah, it worked for them.
It did work.
Probably, I guess Brady, you would say, in Tampa. Brought in Gronk, you know. Leonard Fournette, but they didn't spend that much.
They already had a lot on the roster as it was, right?
They added cheap veteran players more than big ticket items.
They just had a good roster already, and Brady was the finishing touch. So, again, it's not like free agent quarterbacks just pop out of nowhere, especially quarterbacks that have the pedigree that Tom Brady's had. So, it does throw a wrench in a lot of it. And, yeah, there have been quarterbacks who made a Super Bowl on their rookie deals, but is it because they made it on their rookie deals, or is it because those teams that they were on did a really good job of drafting?
Mm-hmm. At this point, it seems very clear to me how to get to a Super Bowl. You have to have a top five quarterback in the NFL, or you have to have the best roster in the NFL.
I think it's as simple as you have to
have. Who goes?
You have to have the best. You need the best quarterback. Yeah. And I mean, the AFC representative over the last 4 years, it's been one of the top two quarterbacks at the game. It's been Mahomes three times, and it's been Burrow once. Those are the top two.
When's the last time a quarterback wasn't in the top three in the AFC to go to Super Bowl for the AFC? Maybe 2016 Denver?
Flacco.
With
Manning.
With Manning
was, Manning was bad that season.
Washed up Manning, and then before that, Flacco.
Yeah.
And but then Flacco had a monster season in the playoffs to the point where we were like, wait, is he top 10? Sort of the same thing that we did with Jalen Hurts going into this past season.
Probably before that, to have a top three quarterback in the AFC to not go to Super Bowl, not name that one man in your Flacco, I would bet, just looking at Super Bowl winners, is young Ben Roethlisberger.
I was going to say, I think you have to go back.
And that Super Bowl has an asterisk because the refs blew that game. This is one of the worst called football games of all time.
And think about it. We're going back now like over 15 years, almost 20 years
we're
to
going
that first
past,
one.
We're going past the rookie wage scale days. We're going back to the time where some of these quarterbacks, I mean, Roethlisberger was a first round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know what he got paid, but I imagine he still got paid a pretty good amount on his rookie deal.
Yeah, because he was like the third quarterback taken in that draft.
Yeah.
He still made a pretty penny.
I forget where he was drafted. I don't want to say it was in the teens, but I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah, it is not easy to win a Super Bowl. It is not easy to get to a Super Bowl. And the Texans' path to a Super Bowl right now has never been hard. It's never been harder because, unfortunately for the Texans, they lived in the Brady era and the Mahomes era. And really, unfortunately for the NFL, this is...
No, it was fortunate, all right.
Like, this is way worse than Jordan to LeBron. Because even in the Kobe era in the NBA, there was still
Kobe and Shaq era.
And some, like intrigue of who was going to win.
Tim Duncan era.
Yeah, it was the Tim Duncan era.
No, but you're right. You're right.
Why? You said the Kobe era.
Yeah. People like Kobe in the city more than they like Tim Duncan.
Which is insane. I'm sorry. I get the Tim Duncan Spurs against the Rockets stuff, but I don't get liking Kobe. I don't.
Spurs
Mamba
like
mentality. What the hell does that mean? Shoot 40 times a game and then mail it in the last couple of years, take all the cap space away from your team so that you can just chuck up 40 shots a game because you believe you deserve to be rewarded as a star. His lack of competing the last couple of years of his career where he made it literally impossible for the Lakers to actually compete for a championship is directly in contradiction with the Mamba mentality. But no one wants to talk about that because he's dead.
Wow. I didn't
People didn't want to talk about it when he was alive either.
I didn't know, Paul, you had this much hate for Kobe Bryant in your heart.
It's not hate. It's just facts. I mean,
it sounds like hate. Sean, is it hate?
No. It's just like, again, that's what the conversation was around Kobe in 2014.
He's been deified for reasons that I don't get. Like,
he was deified when he was alive.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Because he did a great PR tour after his career ended.
His career was a great impersonation of Michael Jordan. Like, it really was. Nolan was closer to being like Michael Jordan, including LeBron. From the perspective of, he tried to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother about that, where he brought up Kobe for, like, greatest players of all time. I was like, it's hard, or as the greatest player, I'm like, it's hard when your thing is that you impersonate Michael Jordan and you're not as good as Michael Jordan. Like, it's very hard to make that case.
Yeah, like, those videos where they're side-by-side doing the exact same moves is crazy.
Or just, like, him talking.
Yeah,
like, he changed his voice to sound like Michael Jordan's.
So how we got there was we were talking about how the NBA had at least a gap between Jordan and when LeBron started winning. Whereas this one, it literally got handed from Brady to Mahomes, and it's going to be challenging. Like, you know, Drew Brees, he won one Super Bowl. Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls during the Brady era. Roethlisberger got a couple. It's not going to be easy. And the Chiefs are not slowing down in any way. And that's where, to kind of tie it all together, I like the Texans' free agency approach. I like that they're not overspending right now, and they're spending wisely. So if there's a big move next year or the year after, they're going to have time to spend money. They don't have to spend it all in the last 24 hours.
There's too many teams to overtake in the AFC by signing one or two players.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of better teams right now. It is going to take them time, and they have to hit on the picks, and it might not happen. But a couple of splash moves by the Texans for this coming season and the next couple of years, that's not leapfrogging the Chiefs. That's not surpassing the Ravens. That is not going past the Bengals, I would say, right now. I think with the Bills, maybe. Dolphins, maybe. But those teams are on the decline. And why not just sit back and let those teams fall apart and overtake them naturally?
And I've said this too. Sorry, Sean. You want to go first?
You go.
If CJ is who we think he's going to be, he's going to take the Texans there for a Super Bowl.
I agree.
Sean?
It's also a situation where you look at the best players on this team, or at least the key members of this team, they're all in their first or second year. And so once you have to start paying these guys, and eventually, like, you just can't pay them all, and you're going to have to let guys walk, the Bengals are going to have to trade T. Higgins or let him walk next year because they're not going to pay him, Burrow, and Chase all what they want. So there is going to come a time where the Texans are going to have, like, a all-in kind of year. It's just not going to be C.J. Stroud's second year in the NFL that it's going to be the all-in year. Like, there's going to be a year where they do have to change their mindset and they will have to start thinking more short-term.
Yeah.
Not this year.
Yeah. I can't wait. Those years will be fun. And you never know, T. Higgins will be a free agent next year. If you want to get back in that game because he got franchise tagged, you could then. There's plenty of moves to be made. They just don't have to happen today. Be happy, Texans fans. You have a capable organization.
The short memory is what's bothering me. It's not the frustration. It's the anger months after an incredible first season where they went further than just about anyone expected.
Huh.
Except for some people.
Interesting.
I predicted them to go 2-7.
You know what happened
but you
yesterday?
You had them losing in the wild card, right?
That's true, I did. Yeah.
You know what happened yesterday?
Probably. I don't even remember.
Paul Gallant went on a date. We deserve an update. The people want to know. They've been texting into the show, at least one person, asking if we would get a date update today. We'll have that in garbage time next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe Mixon is a Houston Texan for a conditional 7th-round pick. And Paul Gallant is a dating man. How'd your date go last night?
B minus.
Okay. Did you end up telling her that we talk about it on the radio?
I did not.
Okay. I think that was the right decision.
It did not come up naturally. Yeah, I think we need to have a few more to potentially get there.
Yeah, you don't need to be telling people that.
So, I like this girl a lot. It's been a while since we previously dated, so we reconnected. Hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks. It's been a rather eventful last couple of weeks for me. Same for her, because she's on a bunch of rodeo committees.
Oh, yeah.
She's about to go to an out-of-town wedding this week. We went to Buffalo Bayou Park.
Okay.
Both of us, because we've had a lot to drink the last couple of days, said, we're just going to walk and we're going to talk.
Okay.
She brought her dog, cute old senior dog. It's like beagle looking. I want to say it's like 13, 14 years old or something like that. Yeah, and it went well. We left in separate cars.
Okay.
No smooch at the end.
Okay.
But we are still talking. The last time we went on a date, there was a little smoochy smooch.
Okay.
But that's it.
I was literally just about to ask you, like, are those details you typically share, or do you always just say nothing happened?
What's funny is I'll say nothing happened with my friends, but when I'm here, I'm actually
a little more honest.
At my most honest.
Insane that we get the more honest version.
Yeah.
I love that.
That the city of Houston gets the more honest
version. It's
what else do you want to know?
You people matter more than Paul's friends.
Well, listen,
you listeners matter.
No, I just pride myself on being extremely honest. So,
oh, that's everything. It sounds like it went well. Will there be a date number two?
We will see. I don't know. There is an air of I'm not sure that seemed to be different from the last time that we hung out.
Okay.
So, but the last time we hung out, I also was not really expecting anything. I thought that we were just hanging out as friends, and we just happened to both like drinking, and, you know.
Okay.
End of the night, drop her off. We kissed. That's it.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see. That's all I got.
Sean, do you have takes on this, or anything?
No, not really. I'm just, okay. I'm happy, you know.
You're happy, Paul.
She brought the fur baby.
Do you tell us these things, Sean?
Yeah, I brought snacks for the dog.
Nice.
Dog liked the snacks.
That's good.
Had to bust the snacks out a couple of times because she was trying to murder some squirrels.
Oh, yeah. That's the tough part about dogs.
But they're easy to distract if you got the snacks.
Sean, do you tell us dating stories?
No. I give out so little.
Honestly, I legitimately have no idea.
No. None. I'm just not interested in
it. Okay.
I mean, it might be.
Yeah. I was just curious. All right. It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Have you ever been scammed, Joe George? Have you ever been scammed by somebody that told you a sob story?
No.
Okay. That's good to know. I have been. But people in Houston, be on the watch for a woman with small kids who claims she's fleeing an abusive husband, all as part of an elaborate scam. Several people have posted on Facebook and Reddit warning others to be aware of two women who know how to tug at hearts to get other people's money. They bring kids into it, they bring a dog into it, and they talk about being a domestic violence victim. And they're taking $100, $200, $300 at a time from generous and kind people across Houston. So be on the lookout for that.
Are they asking for, like, cash?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. You gotta watch out for that.
Done that before, 22. There was a person in my apartment complex after I was in between shifts of doing Rockets postgame for a Lakers game. So I got home at 1:30 and going back to do morning updates. So I was going back to work at 5. I literally had 2 hours to take a nap. And this one person is just waiting out there, and he told me that he was a Katrina refugee whose wife just had a miscarriage and his car was in the shop. So not only did I give him some of my cash, I drove him to where I thought his car was, and it was, based off of me watching The Wire, 100% a crack house.
Oh, no.
Had to be. Well, you listen, you learned the lesson, and that was my charity for life. Now I don't give out charity anymore.
Yeah, I think
been burned.
I think I might have got scammed one time. One time this guy was like waving me down while I was driving, and because my tire, my back right tire on my old car was wobbling. So like something was missing. And he was a mechanic. And he fixed it for me because he was a mechanic and he magically had the part in his car. And he made me pay him like way too much money to fix it. But I was literally freaking out because I watched my tire. Like, he took a video of it. It was like my whole car was going to fall apart. And I'm pretty confident after it happened.
Did he slash your tire?
I think he took the part out of the car.
Yeah, that he 100% was extorting
and
you.
Then followed me
with
the part.
Yes, that is what he did.
Okay, so yes, I've been scammed.
There's no question. Yep. I think he did that. That is what he did.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been scammed.
We've all been scammed. We all learned. Just remember, guys.
0145, the wobbly tire scam is real. It's all over Houston subreddit.
Damn. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Okay, so just get to your closest wherever. Don't stop.
Do people ever offer to sell back catalytic converters?
Probably.
You have to be able to buy them.
Yeah.
If your catalytic converter gets stolen, you're just effed, right? Like, you have to get a new car?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure how that works.
Actually,
I don't know if you can replace it.
I'm not sure.
Wrapping up garbage time, shout out to the Fort Worth Zoo. I don't know if anyone saw the viral video of a silverback gorilla that that was in an enclosure with a zookeeper who was caught and couldn't get out. The gorilla was acting a little extra.
Oh, that was in Fort Worth?
That was in Fort Worth. Now, luckily, they did not have to kill this gorilla, but unfortunately, the very next day, an orangutan was recorded smoking a cigarette. So Fort Worth Zoo seems like a fun old time.
Fast and loose.
The monkeys doing whatever they want there.
Like, did they just, is this a more common occurrence, you think? Like, they just like...
Orangutan smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, it just has like a pack. And they just like once a
you
day.
You definitely teach it to smoke.
Yeah.
Here's a quote. Will an orangutan smoke? Yeah, they will. Should we be introducing that? No. Thanks, zookeeper.
But someone clearly introduced it.
But it's also a little bit of hypocrisy. I know the orangutan can get along.
Why can't he smoke? Why can't he smoke?
He's already in a zoo.
Exactly.
You could also ask, is being in a zoo a good thing for an orangutan?
Yeah, what's worse, being in a zoo or smoking a cigarette for the orangutan?
Take the edge off a little bit.
Yeah. It's got a lot of people scared
of him. You all day. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just let him have it. But is there a video in this article about with the orangutan smoking the cigarette?
I'm sure there is.
I need to see that. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll have more free agency news with the Texans, I'm sure, tomorrow to discuss. Let's
talk about chimpanzees doing PCP tomorrow.
The Killer Bees with Joel Blank, Jeremy Brandon, and Brian McDonald. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.